Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Lost in the Blowing Your Eardrums Out Because Scott is Meddling with the Board.
No, the board is being stupid and I don't know why, and this thing is, it's being weird and I'm going to have to figure that out, but who cares?
Okay. Want to do the Adam and Eve promo real quick?
Sure.
Hey, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC. You get 50% off of a single... What?
There's a difference between quick and not understandable. So here we go. Go to adamandeve.com. Pick out the stuff you like. If when you're ready to check out, you throw in the promo code STATIC. Then you get lots of stuff. One, you get 50% off of one item, which is a happy, happy thing. You get three free DVDs. And who doesn't like free DVDs, really? Especially smut DVDs, because those just rock.
And each one, I recently got a set. They're like 4 hours long each. So it's like 12 fucking hours of porn.
Damn. And then you get a free mystery gift.
Correct.
Which we don't know what it is. And if you use the code and write in and tell us what it is, then it'll be different for everybody. But like I've heard cock rings and lube and stay up juice and...
Stay up juice?
Well,
I would think it'd be like gel, a cream or whatever. Something.
Gel, cream, who cares? It all falls under juice for me. And then you get free shipping within the U.S.
Correct.
Which is really cool. And you get a nice warm fuzzy feeling because you helped me and Josh out a little bit.
Yes, you do.
And by the way, just to let people know, yeah, we know that number one, if you've used the code, you can have difficulty using it again, which we see that, we understand that. And number two, if you're outside the U.S., then it really doesn't apply.
Well, and the whole code thing, it does help that I have three of them.
True.
That's all I'm going to say.
True. So anyway, we are looking at a couple other places, including Amazon and stuff like that. So you can just do your shopping regularly.
Well, if you do it, you said you were going to look at Amazon and you've been slacking on that.
You're right. I have been. I've also been working my tail off recently.
Oh, pick. details. Now, what we just did with that promo is going to kind of seg into our topic
a little bit. That's why we did it that way.
Yes.
Unintentionally.
Yeah. It would have been really witty if we'd thought of it.
I know, but we didn't, so it's not.
Well, our topic is going to be the difference between earning a living and selling out. And I'm talking about this in a professional manner. Obviously, you're working at McDonald's, you're not a sellout.
You're not a, no.
You know, that's outright earning a living. I'm talking about when actors and musicians and artists and game designers and things like that. Where is the line, Scott, between selling out and just doing your job? I'm asking you that for now on a philosophical level.
See, I'm not sure because you and I put that line in very, very
which is why
places.
I'm asking you where your line is.
Like for me, I see it pretty much all of it is, I mean, there's making a living means making a comfortable living. And unfortunately, at least here in the States, making a comfortable living is getting as much money as you possibly can, taking it all and stuffing it in your ears.
No, that's the 1% version of that.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that this is, I mean, I don't know. I don't believe in penalizing people for being successful and for taking advantage of their success. Now, where I do see it is if, and I don't know if they do this or not. I'm just going to pick a name out of my butt. Let's go with a sports star.
How about out of your hat instead? I'd prefer the name coming out of your hat.
It'll come out of my hat then. Let's say a sports star, Tim Tebow, and I only know that name because of the internet.
The fact that he's in the news everywhere. But, okay. Yes.
But let's say that he's obviously being paid very well by the NFL. He's probably going to get some endorsement deals and stuff like
Wheaties
that.
Boxes
so he's
and things.
He's making a really good living. But then Podunk Elementary School. Actually, let's add another layer onto that. Podunk Church asks Tim Tebow to come speak at the church to the youth. And, Tim Tebow is quite well known for thanking God for every good play he has. And he's a very outspoken Christian. But let's say that instead of coming to this church and speaking to the kids out of the goodness of his heart and out of the hope of spreading the good word of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, that's fine. It'll be $25,000 to have me come speak at your church.
That to me, that's greed. That's not earning a living.
That's selling out. And I think that the difference between selling out and making a living is exactly that, greed.
Well, and I also think there is a line that you have to take on a case-by-case basis. Because look at like the website, That Guy with the Glasses. Apparently, they're not making enough money, so they started adding the mid-roll commercials. So not only do you have a commercial after the show and before the show, which to me, that's part of the earning a living, okay?
Okay.
But then they put a commercial in the middle of the show. Why? More blip monies. It's not necessary. It's just to get more money. And they even put little disclaimers on there. Please excuse the mid-roll commercial. We need to make a little bit of money. And it's going, oh, fuck you. No, you don't.
Now, and see, to me, that mid-roll commercial would be okay so long as the money made goes back into the website or goes back to the artists that contribute. And I'm sure some of it does, and I'm sure some of it gets pocketed by other people. And to me, it's where that money goes and what, for, you know, maybe they do need to make money to cover hosting costs and stuff like that. Maybe they need to make money in order to hire a professional to make their website look a little bit better, because it is kind of a hot mess right now.
Oh, it's terrible. On every browser I use, if you like go to one of the drop downs, 9 other drop downs open that you don't want, and you're clicking on the wrong. It's
and
a
I'm
mess.
Not I'm not worried about, you know, that I'm not here to pick on that website, but it's.
But, well, I do have one more thing to talk about that website
for. Sure.
Again, blip monies that they want, things that could easily be done in a text, a quick. Here is a text post, like a Blogspot post.
Yes.
They do in a video because they get more money that way. Like when Doug Walker announced all his convention appearances. That's all it was a 2-minute video of him going, and I'm going to be here and here and here and here and here and here on these dates. No reason that could not have been done in text. Why wasn't it done in text? Because you don't make any money if it's done in text. There's no reason for all these tiny little update videos that don't need to be videos. To me, they're going, we get more money this way.
And again, my brain goes, where is that money going? Is it going to improve the website? Well, I haven't seen that yet. Maybe it is. I don't know. Is it going back to the artists themselves? Maybe it is. I don't know. Or is it being pocketed by someone else? We'll say an unfair ratio. Maybe it is. I don't know. Well, but to me, selling out would be that third option.
To me, selling out is when you do something specific. When you are an artist, okay, and you're making money off of your art, no problem.
Okay.
When you start doing the art to make the money, so if all of a sudden, you know, a brilliant painter, he's making millions of dollars selling the art he wants to make. But then somebody comes up to him and says, I'll give you $2 million to make the art for this thing you hate. And he'll go, $2 million? Make it $4 million and you got a deal. That, so, to me, that's selling out. That's not being an artist anymore. That is being, you are an employee. You're doing the work for the money rather than making money from the work. And I know that's a weird hippie mentality, but that's the way I feel about it.
It really is hippie. What about, like, let's say Banksy?
I don't know what that is, so.
You're not familiar with Banksy?
No.
It's one of the most famous urban artists in the world.
Okay, I can't give you an accurate opinion because this is the first I'm hearing of him. Okay. So.
He's one of the most famous urban artists in the world. He's well known for his stencil graffiti.
Okay.
And I'm sure you've seen it.
I might have, I just don't know the name.
I'll show you some in the future, and I'm sure you'll recognize it. But recently he refuses to give up his identity. Whenever he appears in public or on TV or stuff like that, his face is well covered, and you know, everybody, I know who Banksy is. Who is he?
That's just egomaniacal.
Yeah. Well,
it's pretentious.
It's because his art is illegal. Yeah. But anyway, he was recently employed by The Simpsons to do an opening for them, and it got the opening got a lot of press. It was the one where they showed the animation factory, and it was actually a really depressing opening.
Okay.
Was that selling out?
If he did it specifically, if they came to him and said, would you be interested in this? And he said, no, I'm not interested in working for The Simpsons. And they said, the check has 90 on it. And he's like, where do I sign? That, yes. It would be, if he was more concerned about the money than the project, then yes, I think it would be.
So selling out for you is...
is doing it for the money.
It's a matter of motivation.
Kind of, yeah. Well, and again, taking on a case-by-case basis. Like, sometimes, like, when people are being called sellouts, they are not. Such as, remember William Burroughs, author of Naked Lunch, and one of those authors that
William
basically...
William S. Burroughs, one of my favorites.
He changed he pretty much changed the face of American literature.
Yes.
At the end of his life in the 90s, he was destitute. He was making nothing off of his books. So he was offered a vast sum of money to do a Nike commercial. Literally for money to pay his rent and eat off of. He was called, oh, William Burroughs, such a sellout. Not really. That was a matter of survival at that point, you know? I wouldn't call that a sellout. He did the Nike commercial because he needed to eat and nobody was paying him for all the work he did in the past. I'd say the same thing about when George Carlin did those 10-10-220 commercials. Until I found out why, I was calling George Carlin a sellout. I'm like, you're doing fucking long-distance phone commercials now.
Why?
Because his accountant had screwed him, and he basically was so in debt to the IRS, it was, if you don't come up with like $900,000 in the next month, you're going to jail. So he said, hey, that long-distance commercial called. I need to stay out of jail. To me, that was a matter of survival for George Carlin. That was not, hey, I just want some money. It's, I need the money and I need it right fucking now. To me, not selling out. And I'm not saying that as a George Carlin fan, because at the time those came out, I was calling him a sellout till I found out why. And I went, okay, that makes sense now. But then you got ones like Henry Rollins recently went on this, well, recently, a couple years ago, this huge rant about people calling bands like the Sex Pistols and the Ramones sellouts because their music is now used in commercials and, you know, Johnny Rotten is hawking butter in England and things like that. He's a spokesman for a butter company and whatnot. And he's like, they're not sellouts. You know, they worked all these years and they had nothing. Why can't they have some comfort in their later years? And I'm going, on the surface, that totally makes sense. But these are all groups who all of their music was anti-corporate, anti-company. And then all of a sudden to go, now these songs that were all anti-corporate, there's enough zeros on that check. I'm saying, yeah, I want the money. To me, that's selling out.
Okay, but what if they're destitute and somebody offers, you know, we want to use...
You can't think of a Ramones or Sex Pistols song,
well,
can you?
Well, I'm hearing the Sex Pistols song, God Save the Queen.
Okay.
Let's say somebody wanted to use Sex Pistols' version of God Save the Queen in a commercial, and the band members are, you know, begging on the street.
Well, first of all, they're not.
I know, but let's just say they were.
Okay.
Would that be selling out?
I think that would be the gray area, because their whole music was fuck the corporations, fuck the man, and don't be part of the system. And then they're using those exact songs to be part of the system.
And see, to me, I look at them and I say, good on you. Enjoy your comfort, because you've come around and seen that corporations aren't all that bad and you're going to enjoy your living.
You know, another great example would be the Dead Kennedys Holiday in Cambodia Levi's debacle. And you're like, what?
No, go on.
Well, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't, so explain.
Okay, the song Holiday in Cambodia was a song that Jello Biafra and East Bay Ray wrote about slave labor, you know, sweatshops, things like that. Okay?
Okay.
Well, the way their contracts are written is to sell to a commercial, the Dead Kennedys all have to agree to it.
All right.
Well, the three other members said, we want to sell this song to Levi's. Levi's was offering them millions of dollars, apparently not getting the whole, you realize this song was written about the exact kind of thing that you're trying to do, right? You know, the sweatshops and stuff for Levi's. And Jello Biafra would not sign. So they sued him for blocking them from making money off of their music.
Okay.
Because he had the integrity of saying, I'm not necessarily against this, but I will not sell this to Levi's. They were one of the companies we wrote this song to bash. And you guys just want, because we don't want to make any new music, we want to just live off our laurels. To me, those three guys were selling out, and Jello Biafra was standing up for his principles. And he got taken to court for that, and I think that was bullshit.
I don't.
I knew that, but, you know, to me, Metallica. Metallica is a perfect example of just a sellout on every single level. Just going to look at me weird?
Yeah, because, I mean, Metallica just went from being a really good band to kind of sucking.
And see, that's the exact same thing. You listen to their first four albums, five if you count Garage Days, but that was just an EP. And then they went to the Black Album, and then they got really popular. And people go, well, it wasn't selling out. Yes, it was. They changed their musical style because they wanted to get on the radio and wanted to be on MTV. They did not want to be musicians anymore. They said, we want to be rock stars.
And see, to me, they started sucking as a band, and
because they wanted to be on the radio.
That's too bad for them. But to me, I don't see somebody, you know, that's the whole thing behind marketing is going, here's our product. People aren't buying our product. And so you take it to somebody and they go, okay, well, if you change the product to go and do this, like if you, right now you have a bright pink men's product. And I don't know what the men's product would be. We'll call it a widget. It's some sort of wonder hair care thing, you know, beard and hair shaver and everything like that. But you've made it pink with little purple hearts on it and you're trying to sell it to men. I'll tell you what. Make it black. Make it black, and then we'll throw this ad campaign behind it, and it really is a good shaver, and we'll sell it. And me, as the inventor of the hair shaving widget, I look at it and I go, well, I want to make money off of this thing. That's what I want to do. That's my motivation. I'll change it to black, and it sells to men all over the place, and you end up a millionaire. Is that selling out?
If he feels strongly enough that this should be pink with rainbows on it, then yes, it is. But back to Metallica real quick, one more thing. You want to try and claim that they're not sellouts? Do you know how they're distributing their new single later this year?
How are they distributing their new single?
Breakfast cereal. They will be including mini CDs in Kellogg's cereals. I'm sorry. They are absolute sellouts. They will do anything for money. This is the same band that sued their own fans for being fans of them.
That's one way to look at it.
That is, all they care about is the money. And like I said, they did not want to be musicians anymore. They said, we've had this musician thing long enough. We want to be rock stars. And to be a rock star, you have to get on the radio. At that point, you had to get on MTV because it was still strangely relevant at that point.
And I don't see a problem with that because I wouldn't mind being a rock star.
You have no musical talent, neither do I, so I'm not throwing an insult at you.
I play trombone, you sack of crap, and I play it quite well, thank you.
How many rock bands have trombone in them?
Not many, but in the 90s, ska bands did.
Ska's not rock.
I know.
But we're talking, you said you wanted to be a rock star, not a ska star.
I want to be a ska star, fine. Okay. We'll fix it for you.
I might be picking nits, but, you know, I'm trying to keep this light.
But anyway.
But yeah, Metallica, absolute sellouts. And you even had other bands that after Metallica's success, and they've admitted this on camera, there's this documentary that VH1 Classic was airing that they basically said, after we saw what happened with Metallica and how they changed their sound and got on the radio, we changed our sound because we wanted to get on the radio. And they're like, we totally sold out. And I mean, hell, I have the clip at home where I can prove without a shadow of a doubt that Metallica even admits to themselves were sellouts.
Okay.
They're sellouts. When they debuted the video for One, their very first video on MTV, they said on air, this is the only video we will ever make. We are not a band that is into videos. Lars Ulrich said, if you ever see another video by Metallica, it means we've sold out. As soon as I saw Enter Sandman, I went, fucking sellouts! And they're going, well, yeah, but, you know, it seemed appropriate. And it's like, no, you're backpedaling. You are fucking sellouts. Back when you made One and Injustice for All, you were musicians. When you made Enter Sandman, you were fucking rock stars. It's a totally different mindset.
And I don't have a problem with it.
I do.
Really don't. I mean, to me, the definition of sellout is a little bit different. I've got no problem with somebody changing their product, you know, somewhat in order to make money with it. That's called marketing. Excuse me.
He is. Do you remember where you parked after that?
I'm not quite sure where I am.
Right.
Wow.
Continue.
Anyway, and to me, changing your product or the product that you offer, whether you're an artist, if you're an artist or like a musician or something like that, and you hit upon a particular sound that sells well and you want to make a living, and go for it. Do it. To me, selling out is when greed compromises principles.
Which is what I think the whole suing your own fans would be.
That would be selling out.
Because, I mean, for those that don't know, I know you're aware of this, but yeah, we have younger listeners that might not know. Basically, Napster was the late 90s version of iTunes and whatnot, but it was illegal. It was basically a torrent site before torrents existed for sharing music.
Wasn't quite BitTorrent, but it was, and it's
but yeah, it's sort of kind of almost sort of kind of related.
Brilliant little networking idea. Anyway, go on.
And Metallica saw, hey, people are trading our music on that with people that didn't pay us for our music. Let's sue them and get all their records. And they sued each individual person that ever traded their music on Napster. So they sued their own fans for being their fans because they said, I mean, I think one of the lawyers for one of the people estimated that the money they lost based on the Napster trading was a percent of a percent of a percent of what they made in a year. And they were going, too much! You people took our money! Too much! I'm going, no. You people, Metallica, you are total greedy.
And that, again, is when greed makes you compromise your principles. You know, that may be selling out. To tell you the truth, the Ramones and Sex Pistols idea you gave, it's right there in that gray area. You know, where greed might be making you change your principles. But at the same time, I also look at that and I see, you know, the Sex Pistols and the Ramones did that music and wrote those songs when they were very young. Now they're very older, you know, now they're older, they're more mature. Principles do change. When I was young, when I was in college, I was going to be an amazing reporter that was going to take down the man, and we were going to, you know, the free press was going to take down the rotten government, and this university shouldn't be, you know,
corporatized
and stuff like that. And you know, and any time that they censored me in the school newspaper or in the school, at that point, video TV news thing.
Were you the Boom Goes the Dynamite guy?
No, but I went to college with him. it was, but you know, when like at University of Evansville for the university paper, when they censored me, I was like, yeah, the man is screwing me again, and blah 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 blah. When looking back at it and rereading those stories, I'm like, no, that was just bad reporting. But again, I'm older. My principles have changed. You know, maybe the guys have changed enough that they're not compromising their principles. Jello obviously still where he was. And so he stood up and he paid a price for it.
But he did end up winning after. I mean, you never heard Holiday in Cambodia in a Levi's ad. So.
That's right. You know, so okay. And good on him. But were the other guys selling out? I don't know, because I don't know where their principles have changed. And to me, that's selling out is when greed makes you compromise the principles you stand by.
Oh, the Dead Kennedys, they did that. The new Dead Kennedys. Keep in mind, Jello hasn't been a member of the group since like 89, I think, is when their last studio album came out. Okay, they got together a few years ago with child actor Brandon Cruz. You might remember from early episodes of like Kung Fu and lots of 70s stuff. He was a child.
Hi, I'm Brandon Cruz. You may remember me from such things as.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Cruz became their new singer. So they reformed as the Dead Kennedys. All right, fine. Bands do that all the time, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Problem is, they never announced Jello wasn't in the band anymore. They're selling tour dates and a new album as the Dead Kennedys have reformed. And it's like, you might want to, I mean, I know people that saw them and were like, who the fuck is this guy singing? And they wanted their money back. They're like, you sleazy sons of bitches. You didn't say this is the new Dead Kennedys. You didn't say Jello's not part of the band anymore. It's, hey, the Dead Kennedys, three of us are here, so why should we tell you? It was all about marketing. And Jello took them to court over that, too. Because basically they were trying to make money off of his name by them not announcing he was not part of it anymore.
See, and to me, that's shitty marketing. And to tell you the truth, I'll bet they would have gotten like two or three shows before the news broke. And the fans learned. And the market corrects itself. Because I guarantee the market would have ended up playing, you know, the
nightclubs.
Well, I was going to say the Brown County Fair. You know.
Speaking of that,
Sticks.
Tesla's there this year.
Tesla.
Tesla's coming this year. I just heard that on the radio.
I know. And you just look at them and you go, oh.
Well, a couple of years ago, I mean, I know this is off topic, but a couple of years ago, my wife and I were at the Michigan State Fair. Okay.
Okay.
And Def Leppard was there. Def Leppard that used to sell out stadiums.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They couldn't even half sell out the Michigan State Fair. Man, what an ego bump that has to be.
Oh, that's, again, you just look at them and go, "Aw."
And you also look at them and go, "Probably should have invested a little wiser back then, huh?"
Well, come on. What teenager goes, "I've just won the lottery. I'm going to invest."
They were in their late 20s.
I know, but meh.
Well, it's that sort of thing that, you know, they think it's going to last forever.
Exactly.
Which, is, you know, it's like the, I'm not trying to pick on the that guy's site, but I think the whole internet movie reviewer thing is over.
I don't know. I think that's a whole nother show.
Okay.
But because I think that guy and many sites like it tapped into a formula that worked for a while, and that formula is no longer working.
Well, I think it became diluted. I think it became diluted because everybody tried to started to do that. And that's what happens when you get anything out there that's popular. You get one or two great ones, and then the 900 knockoffs that completely destroy. I mean, the Asylum is a perfect way for movies, you know? The Mockbusters. Asylum tapped into a market with the Mockbusters.
Sure.
And now every company is out there making Mockbusters. Hey, Asylum, you're not special anymore.
Including the big blockbuster companies that, right. You know, they're... But, yeah. So that's a whole other show altogether.
Which I just want to say this on the show right here. Okay, we've had Sharktopus coming out in a couple of months as Two-Headed Shark and whatnot.
Right.
I came up with an idea in my sleep last night. I had a dream. Vampire Shark. You can only kill it with silver and a stake through its giant shark heart. And every other animal it bites becomes a vampire. I'm saying it right now. Vampire Shark. If somebody makes this movie and I'm not involved, I'm saying it here on the air. That's why I want to say it. I want to get it on record. Vampire Shark. You heard me. And I saw you smile, so you're like, that's stupidly clever.
That's a brilliant idea. It really is.
Vampire Shark. Come on.
You know what I would do? Huh. I would take the flesh-eating encephalopods. They don't necessarily have to be octopuses, but...
Octopuses?
Octopi, octopuses.
Octopuses is funner to say, though.
Octopodes. It's a Greek... It's actually, octopi is wrong. That's a Latin root. Octopus is a Greek root word. It should be octopodes is the correct...
See, Scott's got a college education. Look at that shit kick in right
That's
there.
That's right. We go back. But octopuses, octopi, and octopodes are all three accepted by Merriam-Webster now. So... Anyway,
we're totally off topic, but this is fun. So.
Exactly. But my idea was flesh eating octopi.
Like when they touch you, it eats your flesh away, or
well, no, they have beaks.
Well, so they have to buy. I'm talking about like the suctions on their tentacles. Like if it just touches your skin, it eats your skin away. Or
no. I'm talking about they grab a hold of you. You know, some octopus somewhere gets a taste for human flesh.
Yeah,
and you could
nubile woman flesh, no less.
Well, sure, why not?
If it's a movie, that's what it's going to be, especially if Corman produces.
But you've seen the stories of how smart octopi are, how they crawl out of the aquarium and across the floor and into another aquarium in order to eat the fish and stuff like that.
Do you ever see that one kill that shark?
Yeah.
That was brutal, but...
But in you're just
it
like,
was engrossing. Oh,
good on you. Way to go, in cephalopods. So, but yeah, there you go. That's my idea. Would be a giant octopus that gets the taste for human flesh.
I want to see one. Have you ever heard of the pistol shrimp? Pistol shrimp is it's a natural thing, and I've saw this on Discovery Channel and Animal Planet, so I'm going to say it's probably relatively accurate. It can snap its claws together so fast and create a shockwave that actually creates a mini laser beam, a natural laser beam. It can basically snap its claw together so fast, it creates a quick little pew, which absolutely fries its prey from the inside, and then it goes and eats it. Come on.
I didn't see about the laser beam. And that,
mutagen with a giant pistol shrimp running through a city, go pa-choo, pa-choo, blasting shit with a natural laser.
Like I said, the shockwave I can believe. The natural laser, I don't know. I'll have to do some research on that one.
Pistol shrimp, Google it, people.
I will. Excuse me for being skeptical. But
oh, no,
I'm
not mad at you about that.
Back to selling out.
Oh, yeah. Damn you for wanting to get back on
back
topic.
On the topic.
All right.
I mean, this is fun. I'll
vampire
agree.
Shark.
No, flesh-eating and flesh-eating encephalopods.
Vampire shark. Okay, go.
At what point does an actor sell out? Because to me, I still respect Tom Hanks as an actor. When Tom Hanks does a movie, he does a really good job and he commands millions of dollars as a an A-list actor.
Okay.
Even a public appearance of Tom Hanks. We're taking time out of his schedule. He demands a little bit of pay. It's all up front. It's right there. We know it. You know, I would never expect Tom Hanks to be on this show for free.
But
is that selling out or
that? No, but like some of his movie choices. And I've got this from some insiders who've worked with people, that are close to some of these movies, that the thought process for like, well, what's that new crappy one that everyone hated, Extremely Loud or...
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Yeah, that one. That everybody looked at that and said, the script is terrible. But Tom Hanks looked at this and said, not, I want to do this part. He said, this is going to win me an Oscar. when you are taking the movie going... This is a terrible script. This is a terrible role, but it will work with the Oscars. That to me, yes, that's selling out. That's going, I want this role because it's going to win me accolades, not because it's a great role.
Okay.
That to me is selling out.
Then, all right.
Kevin Smith's horrible fucking minstrel act of a TV show on AMC. Absolute selling out to me.
All right.
Especially because, years ago, he was like, oh, I hate the way comic book fans are portrayed as, womanless nerds that, have no lives outside of comic books. And he goes, if I ever get the chance, I don't want to show them like that. So he gets his own show about his comic book store. What's it all about? Nerds that live for comic books and have never touched a woman. Yeah, Smith, wow. You just... AMC drove a dump truck full of money up to your house and you said, yeah, I'll show what you want, not the reality. I'll just show what you want me to show because that's the popular image of what a nerd is,
so again,
a comic book nerd is.
Again, he's compromising his principles in the name of getting lots of money.
Yes, that's what it looks like.
And I'm the first to admit I have a price. I really do because I can't really think of... I can't think of principles that I hold. Well, okay. Like truly illegal and immoral acts. Like I don't think anybody could drive a
newborn porn.
I don't think anybody could drive a big dump truck of money and throw it in front of me and say, all you have to do to get this $30 billion is kill this child. I'm not going to do that. That's one of the principles that I will hold steadfast.
But I asked whether that's pre or post taxes.
Tax free, all cash. Just literally a dump truck full of money drives up, throws it on your driveway. A semi truck, just pallets of cash that you can keep in your basement or whatever. You know, all you have to do is kill this child. I'm not going to do that.
It would depend on the child.
But if somebody came up and said, we'll offer you $20 million to take it in the ass from Mike Tyson, my behind would be gone in about half a second. I'd just be like, all right, okay.
The pain's only going to last. He can't last for more than an hour max.
That's right. He can't last for that long, and there's always reconstructive surgery.
$20 million can buy a lot, man.
Exactly.
It's like those people. This is from an old Night Court episode. I'm not changing the topic again. Where they're like, money can't buy happiness, and Dan Feeling just looks at the four hookers and he goes, pretty damn close.
Yeah, it can get you close. But so I'll admit I have a price on some things.
Your behymen being one?
My behymen being one. Do you?
Honestly, I'm not sure. Again, like you pointed out.
I'll give you $20 to eat a hamburger.
No. There are certain moral things. Like, obviously, I wouldn't be able to kill a dog or something because, you know, I love animals and that.
Yes.
I wouldn't. If they said, okay, the money is awesome if you go and start clubbing seals in Alaska, I would have been like, I don't care how good the money is. I will not do that. No. I don't care if you're offering me Bill Gates' annual salary. I'm not doing that. Because to me, that's not worth it for me. I mean, and I'm not saying I don't have a price. I don't know what my price is. We all have a price.
Yes.
We all have that price where, even if you don't know it, when the zeros keep getting added, all of a sudden you stop going, no, no, and you start going,
maybe.
No?
Maybe.
Yeah, we all have that price.
Then,
but like if somebody came up to you and said, I will give you $1 million right now to slit your cat's throat.
See, that's not my price.
Okay, $10 million. What is Addie's life worth to you?
I don't know, but it ain't one and it ain't 10 million.
Right, because you actually care. You have a moral center.
Right.
And a lot of people don't.
So my question is, I mean, but you admit that everybody has this price.
I'd be ignorant not to.
Then why is it suddenly selling out if somebody is willing to meet that price to do that thing? Why is that bad if everybody has that price?
It is bad because we all do have that price. That's something I wish we didn't have. I wish we didn't have that price where it was, you know, I will work for a company that you and I have issues with, Journal Broadcast Group.
Right.
If all of a sudden, after our lawsuit, they said, we're going to offer you guys a ton of money to bring your show to Journal, I would say, you know, no amount of money is worth that. I don't know if you would or not.
Yeah, it depends on the amount of money, and I don't think Journal...
I'm using that as an example because we have a personal history with that company.
Right.
You know, like say the CEO, I know we're going to weigh talking different eras here. The guy that made Pepsi, the guy that created the formula for Pepsi,
okay,
is offered a job at Coke, a company he's been fighting with his entire life. That to me would be selling out if he went, but the money was right.
And to me, knowing that I would also have that price, I don't know. I mean, you start dropping a lot of zeros, and there's a lot of stuff I'm willing to do. Obviously, when it comes to my animals and the example that you gave, that price is way up there.
Well, she's back on the counter right there, so yeah, I caught her out of the corner of my eye.
I know. But, you know, I'll admit, for some things, that price is really, really, really high. Maybe unrealistically high for anybody to offer. But if I wrote a song, and I wrote a song called Dr. Pepper Sucks and Anybody Who Drinks It Should Be Put to Death. And Dr. Pepper came to me and said, you know what? Your song mentions Dr. Pepper. We'd like to use it in a commercial. And they dropped a truckload of zeros on me.
Well, okay. I've got an example for you. Eastman and Lariat. You know who those are, right?
No.
The creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Okay. They've sold their creation to every single thing imaginable. You know, comic books, toys, cartoons, movies, videos, action figures,
yeah,
video
yeah.
games, underwear, you know, bubble gum, anything.
Yeah.
So they have no compunction about selling out. And then when Michael Bay announced this new movie, you know, the new Alien movie and stuff they were both asked, and keep in mind, these guys are not together anymore as partners or anything. They were both asked, what do you guys think about this? Now, keep in mind, the way their contract is written, they get royalties off it no matter what happens.
Okay.
They get the same amount of money.
Okay.
They could have come out and said, this is a goddamn abomination, what he's doing to our creation. But you know what they did?
What they did.
What they did?
What they did.
They said, you know what? This might be a good idea, an interesting direction to take this. And the reason was, there's more royalties down the line if Michael Bay's movie is a hit.
Okay.
They don't care at all about their creation. It's all about how much do I get for it? And that's what happened. You gotta remember, they didn't start the independent comics boom, but they started this certain black and white boom that, you know, everybody started coming after everyone after TMNT got turned into a cartoon. And said, we want to make a cartoon out of Panda Khan and out of Usagi Yojimbo and all this. Most of this never
Invader
happened.
Invader Zim and such. To see a successful one, Invader Zim.
And see, like what Eastman and Lariat did, they basically admitted that when they created TMNT, they were not doing it for altruistic reasons. They were not, hey, we want to create a really good comic that's funny and a biting satire on what was happening in comic books at the time. They've come out and said, we wanted to create something that we could sell. And so while other creators were going, man, I'm creating something that really means a lot to me, they're going, and we start the bidding at...
See, and I almost have respect for that because they
were... that's just selling out right from the beginning.
Well, they were at least honest about it.
That doesn't mean it wasn't selling out. They were just transparent that, you know, who'll start the bidding?
I appreciate transparency.
It doesn't mean it's not selling out.
Yeah, but if you come to me and you say, almost... I almost ended up with coffee on my keyboard again.
Again. So. What is it with you? Is your keyboard like a coffee magnet? What the hell?
It really is. It wants to be replaced. It's been a good and faithful keyboard for a long time. So,
for those of you that might have missed it, there was a couple of episodes ago where, three times?
Twice in one show.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Yeah, I don't know. But no, to me, again, they're not compromising their principles.
They have no principles.
They from the start said we are creating this to make a lot of money and to sell it, and you know maybe we'll have some fun along the way. And that
then you don't get to call yourself an artist.
Why not? Why not? They're creative. They're creating something. What the fuck gives you the right to take that title away from someone who is creative? Anyone who is creative, who creates something that is original, that they pour a little bit of themselves into, all of their soul or some of their soul or none of their soul and just part of themselves, that makes them an artist. Nothing gives you the right to take that title away from people.
If you're doing it simply, I'm going to create something for me that might be popular or sellable later. Okay, fine.
That makes you an artist with principles.
You know, but then... Okay, what is, like all of a sudden, all these Twilight knockoff books that you see all over. I'm sorry, you people, you know, the ones that are going, Twilight's really popular, I'm going to have like an emo vampire and a teenage romance and all that. You're not a writer.
Sure they are. They're a shit writer, but they're a writer. I'm not going to, look, for those wondering, I have a bottle of Febreze right here, this air freshener stuff, and... It came in a nice green bottle. It's got a design on the front.
Looks like a snowflake.
Looks like a snowflake because this happened to be one they offered around Christmas time.
I assume such.
It's got this really interesting, uniquely shaped head where you see it on the shelf and you go, that is Febreze, because Febreze is the only thing that comes with a spray nozzle shaped like that. The man who designed this bottle, the team that designed this bottle, each and every single one of them can call themselves artists, because to me, even creating these graphics, this layout, creating an ad layout, something like that, creating this unique bottle, the Coca-Cola bottle, the man who created the Coca-Cola bottle, artist, brilliant.
Maybe back then. Now everything's done by committee. Like your bottle of Febreze. I'm sure some the leader of, you know, the design team did not go, all right, I think this will work. It was, okay, I've got a note from corporate that says we want this integrated into this. We want it to look like this. We want this kind of color. We want this kind of look. I'm sorry, you're not an artist when you're doing what you're told to do.
No, that's not true. Because somebody came up with this design. And you may be an artist working within client constraints, just like, you know, somebody who designs the ad layout of a magazine ad or something like that, or the typography of a particular magazine. You're doing art within constraints from either your readers or whatever client your advertising company is working for or something like that, but you are still an artist. And I am not going to allow you to take that title away from people and friends of mine who I consider very, very good artists who do work like this all the time that are within these constraints. And sometimes that can make it even more difficult.
Well, but then you also have, going back to your Febreze example, you have things like, I'm sure one person did not come up with the design for that bottle. I'm sure it was one person brought the head idea. One person brought the shape of the bottle. One person brought the colors. Okay, the conglomeration might be art, but each person only brought a small segment.
And I, given that's art done by a team, but I still think it's art.
Well, you and I are going to have to disagree on that.
Then look at the AIDS quilt. It's quilting. It's quilting for a purpose. It's been done by hundreds, if not thousands, of people. It's this huge quilt where everybody does a little square. Are you calling them not artists?
But they're doing it for an altruistic purpose. Why would I not call
them artists? Okay, so doing it for an altruistic purpose, you're an artist no matter what.
No, not necessarily no matter what.
Doing it within constraints and to make a living, doing it as a design side. Are you calling designers, commercial designers, are not artists?
I would say not in the way that Frank Frazetta is an artist or that John Byrne is an artist.
And I would agree, not in the way, but they're still artists.
You know, I mean, would you call Rebecca Black a musician? No, she's not.
No, she doesn't play any. I think she's a singer. She's
not a very good singer. I don't even think she's that.
I think she's a singer.
Well, and she just, another one that started off as a sellout. She didn't say, I want to make some, you know, I want to sing songs. She said, I want to be famous, like Miley Cyrus. I want to be famous. That to me is instant sellout. When you say, like Scott, you and I, we didn't start this show to get famous. We didn't, we started this because it was fun. And we thought we were kind of funny, and a couple of people might find it amusing.
It kind of blew up
a lot bigger than it probably should have.
I'm doing it because I, to this day, I keep hoping that our female friends will send us booby photos. Just because.
Overage female friends. We need to specify that. Over 18.
Sure. And.
I'm just. No, you're
right.
For legal purposes, you're over right. 18.
Just because. Tell you the truth, I'm in a bit of a competition with.
Oblivion.
Jason Oblivion gets booby photos on a daily basis. And I'm not kidding.
The ones he takes himself don't count.
I'm not talking about those. He gets booby photos on a daily basis. I just want one.
Well, preferably a pair.
Well, okay, I just want two. How's that? One instance of booby photos. But nonetheless.
From a female.
You know. Yeah, please.
It was kind of implied, but you know our smart-ass listeners.
This is true. I could just see. Well, I'm not going to mention any names, but I could see one or two of our fans being like, I sent you a booby photo there, Scott. What do you think? You like that booby photo?
Yeah, that's why. You know, females.
Yeah. So anyway, no, that was a joke that went too long and terribly wrong, didn't it? But to me, your Dr. Pepper bottle. Somebody designed those graphics, and I highly doubt that those particular graphics were done by committee. They may have been designed and brought to a committee with tons of different examples and then picked out of those examples, but that means that for that one graphic to be successful, an artist somewhere had to come up with 8, 10, 12 different examples.
All right, then let me ask you this, even though we're running out of time.
Sure.
Photoshop. somebody that makes like a movie poster. They get each one of the actors' faces. They've got the background and whatnot. And all they create nothing of their own, unless you're going to go in the esoteric sense that when they put all these things together, it creates something new. Is a Photoshop artist an artist, or is it just somebody that's taking everything and putting it in a specific spot?
A good Photoshop takes the touch of an artist, because otherwise you look at it and you go, oh my God, that's a Photoshop. But if you look and you go, oh wow, well done. The person that edited together the Avengers movie from the 70s preview,
Which was a fake,
but at the same time, I looked at it and I went, this looks like an epically great movie that had to be a lot of fun to do and have fun with. And then I looked at it again and I looked at the elements and I said, aha. And then you pointed out and you're like, I saw it was fake from the start. But that to me is a good artist. And he's taking other things, putting it together. People that mash together songs in a, you know, well done takes an artist's ear. It takes an artist's talent. Otherwise, it does just look like a cut-and-paste piece of crap job.
Well, see, that's the other thing, which we'll hopefully get into in a future episode, is my issues with the whole YouTube culture and the mashups and, you know, taking every episode of Battlestar Galactica and taking a scene from each one and syncing it to Wake Me Up Inside. I'm sorry, you're not a real artist. You're just an editor. There's a difference to me.
I know editors, you just pissed off.
I don't care. I used to edit. I edit my shows. I used to edit for the TV station. I used to edit professionally. Take over. I got to sneeze.
Bless you. Go right ahead and sneeze. But no, and I understand where your point is, and you're right. That is a fine line between somebody who merely cut, you know, a quick cut and paste job that is pretty noticeable and is, you know, it gets the job done, but meh, versus that piece of art that you conglomerate together from other sources and present, and it touches your soul.
Well, the same thing would be for all these fake movie trailers. And I'm not talking about stuff like Machete that's, you know, all original footage. I'm talking about, have you seen the stuff people do for like Green Lantern 2? They'll just take various scenes and color tint them to all look the same, and they go, Green Lantern 2 official trailer. I'm sorry, that's not art. You're just an editor who's a troll. That's all you are. I don't understand the whole desire for people to make fake movie trailers out of existing footage. I've never gotten the mindset of, you know, and there was one guy who was arguing with some of the commenters. He's going, I'm an artist. This is what I do for art. And I'm going, no, you're not. You just took a bunch of scenes from a movie, put them in a specific order, color tinted it, and then lied, official movie trailer. See, that's you're a troll.
That's a cut and paste.
And he's a troll.
But even if you're using sources from other things, you know, and you put them together in a way that is meaningful and in a way that reaches out and touches people in a way that is different from the way that the original pieces did, then that to me takes an artist's ear. Look up Norwegian Recycling. He's probably one of the better mashup artists out there. Or Pogo. Pogo takes his, you know, he does music completely from other sources. And the final thing becomes better than the sum of all its parts. And that to me takes the ear and the abilities of an artist. For some of these fake previews and whatnot, I don't know. You know, most of them, they don't really have that artistic touch to them. And it's...
Well, and then there are some that, well, I'll say, brilliant. Have you ever seen RoboCop versus Terminator on YouTube?
No.
Guy color-tinted it all yellow to, you know, match the colors. Right. And took scenes from Terminator 1 and 2 and RoboCop 1 and 2. And it is almost seamless. It almost seems like these were made as part of the same movie if you didn't know the difference. But to me, that's not art. That's just really good editing.
That's art.
Not to me. To me, you and I have vastly different definitions of what art is. And in our last minute, we unfortunately got to go, where can we find another Pagan podcast and stuff like that? Because we got to sig out.
Sure. Facebook.com/AnotherPaganPodcast if you want to take a look at the Facebook group. You can also just search it up on iTunes. If you subscribe and you enjoy it, please leave us a review there. It does make a difference.
And go to our Facebook page.
Go to our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/lostinthestatic. And you can also leave a review for us on iTunes as well. Whether you love us or hate us, I don't care. Put a review up.
Exactly. And you can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com. My weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com. I don't get paid for any of this shit except for the radio shows. And then...
Sell out.
And then if you're in the Green Bay area, Scene Magazine, my new column, Shadows of Pop Culture, just started. My new monthly column in Scene Magazine, which you can find at greenbayscenenewspaper.com.
Thanks a bunch for joining us, everybody. And we will definitely be talking about this more in the future. Got anything to say in the last 4 seconds?
Will you just click stop? God, no, I'm not clicking. Is dumb.